I want to talk tonight about the river of God. And it's something that we've all heard of. We've experienced a measure of. But I believe this is a time when God is asking us to examine our hearts and to be real for where we are right now and to cry out for more of the river. Because we'll see tonight, we need the life of the river. We need the life of the Holy Spirit. It's not an optional extra for Pentecostal churches. Amen? It's a must for everyone who wants to be a disciple of Jesus. And there are two amazing facts about the river of life. Two things to start with. A river, first of all, flowed out of the Garden of Eden, the place where God communed with Adam and Eve. So in their fellowship, there was the river of life. It wasn't dead fellowship. It was life. And the river of God flowed from his presence into their lives, and there was a physical river that then separated into four headwaters, sending out life-giving waters throughout the land. You can read about it in Genesis 2, 10 to 14. It says, in this way, our father prepared a means of sustenance and life to the nations and peoples before they were even in existence. So in creating Adam and Eve, God already had a heart for the nations. And he already had a plan to send his river of life to touch the nations, to fill people that he was going to create so that they would live not in the flesh but in the spirit. That was his original purpose. And you can read it there right at the start of his plan. And then it's remarkable that the Bible begins with an earthly Eden and an earthly river, but it ends with a heavenly Eden and a heavenly river. Revelation 22:2. In the last chapter of the Bible, we read of the river of life flowing from the throne of God. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Amen? So it's God's heart to heal the nations. It's God's heart to have his kingdom in the nations with a people of the kingdom who are moving in the spirit, who are experiencing his life, his healing, and all that he has for us. Now, if you look at any church in this land, we have all fallen so much short of that. Amen? So it's time to examine our hearts. If we believe these are the end times, we need to plug in to God's purpose, and we need to realize What a wonderful thing this is. In the final chapter of Scripture, we again see God's heart for nations and peoples. So number one, Garden of Eden. Number two, Revelation. Number three, healing also is part of the process, is associated with the river of life. And the next few points, we're going to refer to a passage of scripture that is familiar to us about a river, Ezekiel 47. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to it. And this is a prophetic picture of the kingdom of God flowing from the presence of God to bring fruitfulness and life to the nations. Amen? To us. So let's read it. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. So from the very presence of God, the water started to flow. Water of the Spirit flows from the presence of God. You can't be flowing in the river of life or the river of the Holy Spirit if you're not close to God, because that's where it emanates. Amen? Why are so many Christians dry and lifeless and see no fruit? Comes back to their relationship with Him. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. That scares the life out of people who can't swim. And we've got a choice tonight. How far are you willing to go with the Holy Spirit? You're going to have a little paddle up to your ankles, then you'll get a puddle of blessing. Are you going to go up to your knees? You'll get a bit more of God's blessing. Go up to your waist, up to your neck, a bit more. But you will only really go with the Spirit without any abandonment if you swim, because you haven't got control. You're not standing on the bottom. So the Spirit can take you wherever He wants to take you. Amen? And so we hold back all the time out of fear, out of not wanting to go any deeper. And the challenge tonight is, how deep do you want to go? Because you can go as deep as you like. Do you know you can have as close a relationship to God as Moses did? Do you know that? It's a matter of choice. See, we hold up some of these people in the Old Testament and we say, well, they were, you know, I can never attain to that. The truth is, you can. Because it comes out of a relationship and his presence. So that's a choice. Are you going to swim tonight? Are we going swimming tonight? Or are we going paddling tonight? I'm fed up with paddling. Because you don't get too much blessing paddling. Let's abandon ourselves to the work of the Spirit. He said to me, verse 6, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river goes, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Everything will live where the Spirit is given freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It shall be that fishermen will stand by from Ongedi to Ongam, and they will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed, and they will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. What a wonderful picture that is of the life of God. Life in the Spirit. Amen. So my question tonight is, are you swimming? Are you being fruitful? Are you catching fish? They're all things that are part of God's kingdom. See, Ezekiel had a vision of a river with life-giving properties flowing out from the temple. After God's glorious presence had returned there, trees surrounding the river bore fruit for food and leaves for healing. So healing is associated with the river of life. That's why we pray for those who are sick, because the Spirit is about healing. Healing our emotions, healing our minds, healing our bodies. Complete healing is available to you only if you swim, I would suggest. The river of life brings a harvest. Where once there were no fish, fish abound, and fishermen spread their nets for an abundant catch. The harvest on God's heart is souls, people from every tribe and tongue. Let's never forget, as we sit here on a Sunday morning and enjoy the fellowship of church and enjoy all that goes on in church, that the real reason for us is to be out there catching fish. Amen. Here is a place where we're motivated, we're equipped, we're encouraged, Our whole purpose is that we swim out there and catch some fish. And that's going to happen. So the river of life brings healing. The river of life brings a harvest. The river of life is a source of joy. The psalmist says in Psalm 36:8, they drank their fill of abundance of your house, and you gave them to drink of the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. Psalm 46:4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. And Psalm 36:8, people feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delight. So part of being in the river and swimming in the river is joy. Do you know there's a difference between happiness and joy? Happiness comes when circumstances go our way and we're happy because the cat's not sick over the floor and Jimmy's not sick and there's enough money coming in. That's happiness. Joy is something that touches your emotions because joy, you cannot contain it and you cannot manipulate it. Joy comes from the presence of God. It comes from life. It comes from the Spirit. Amen? So happiness, it comes from the flesh and our circumstances. Joy comes from the Spirit. You can be joyful and be having the most horrendous time. Ask Judy. Ask Leslie. Ask Brian. Ask Dave. Any of us. You can still be joyful because it doesn't depend on circumstance. Hallelujah. The river of life is a source of joy. The river of life flows, number six, from God's presence. Consistently, we see that the river of life flows from the very seat of God's presence, the place he inhabits and reigns. So that river comes from his presence. So the more we get into his presence, the more of the river flows. Amen. When are we going to learn that, church? The more time we get close to him, here on a Sunday and every day as we give him time, that's when the river of life flows in us. And things will begin to happen. Fruit will begin to ripen. Fish will begin to jump in your net. The river of life is very personal. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. John 7:38. You can't get much clearer than that. Amen? So why are we fighting this? It's personal. We all have to make a choice. A response. Jesus said that when we drink from him, receiving his life, and are filled with his Spirit, rivers of living water will flow out of us and touch those that we touch. That's the whole purpose. Amen? Again, it's the harvest. We're filled with the Spirit, so it overflows. Amen? You overflowing tonight? Or you just a puddle that people step over? Or are you a river that no one can avoid? A shower of rain that no one can dodge? I know what my desire is. The river not only flows from his presence, it is his presence, his Holy Spirit. It flows to us in salvation, in healing, in transformation, and the joy that comes from knowing and provoking of God himself. Take a look in the Gospels and the book of Acts. Clearly demonstrates as Jesus and his followers go about announcing the good news, healing and miracles flow. So my question to finish with tonight is, do you feel dry? A river has movement, inflow, outflow. The river of God has a source, the intimate presence of God, and an influence that brings salvation, healing, and life. But if we stop drinking, if we stop receiving, we get spiritually dry. We stop spilling over. Amen? And we need to learn to recognize when we're dry and when we're not spilling over. You going to spill over this week? Let's spill over this week. Hallelujah. People around us are not being drawn by God's presence in our lives. We stop speaking about God's goodness because we ourselves are living in pain, discouragement, or doubt. When this happens, we need to reconnect with God again. The river of life flows. But I'm going to compare it with the Dead Sea. There may be times when we continue receiving from God, but for some reason stop giving out and releasing his life to others. The Dead Sea is a lake in Israel that has no inflow, no outflow. It's rich in mineral wealth, but cannot sustain life. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a Dead Sea Christian. For there to be fresh water that brings life and fruit and fish, there needs to be an inflow and there needs to be an outflow. If you're not outflowing, if you're not giving out, if you're not serving, if you're not encouraging, if you're not praying for people, if you're not doing what gifts God has given you, you're Dead Sea. Hard stuff. I'm not pulling punches tonight. This is what the Word says to us. I don't want to be a Dead Sea Christian, someone who attends church on Sundays, receives a lot of rich teaching, enjoys the presence of his Spirit, but does not impact the lives of those people around. The river of life needs to be received and released. In that passage in Ezekiel, the prophet sees that the river of life hits the Dead Sea. And when the river collides with the Dead Sea, the salt water becomes fresh. And as it does, the Dead Sea becomes host to life once again. If you're feeling dry tonight, or you long to see fruitfulness in your life again, when's the last time you led someone to the Lord? Or even spoke about? Or even prayed with somebody? The river of God's life can flow once again through you. And Jesus gives us this wonderful invitation. Come and drink. It's not a one-off invitation, but his life and presence is continually available to you. The Apostle Paul said, do not get drunk on wine, instead be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Continuously filled with the Spirit. And Ezekiel's vision of the river of life that went deeper, measure by measure, tells you that no matter what you have experienced of God's life and Spirit, there's always more. Do you want more? I want more. When you reconnect with God, start to share what he's doing in your life. Look for God-appointed opportunities to encourage or pray for people. Because in so doing, the river of life will flow out to others. Amen. And so, let's welcome the Holy Spirit afresh. Whatever our experience has been, there is more. Amen. Much, much more. And God has a heart to give you as much as you like to swim in. Hallelujah. And he wants you to be fruitful, and he wants you to be blessed, and he wants you to have all that he's got for you. And that's what church is all about, really, isn't it? And we're going to see this, you know, in this place. We're going to see the river of life flow. I believe it with all my heart. We're going to see people swimming and being fruitful and being saved and changed. Hallelujah. So we're going to go back into worship for 10 minutes or so. And we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And if you know tonight that, yeah, you're filled with the Spirit, or maybe you're not filled with the Spirit, but you'd like to be, then just ask God to fill you tonight with that river of life. All you do is receive. The Dead Sea didn't do anything, it just received that river that came from the throne, and the whole picture changed. All you've got to do is receive. The Holy Spirit will come. It's an attitude in your heart. So if you know you're dry and you need to swim again, perhaps you've got too content in paddling because it's warmer there, isn't it? You get a bit deeper, it gets a bit chilly and cold. But he wants you to swim. And if that's your desire tonight, as we worship now, just ask him to fill you. If you need healing tonight, there's healing in the river. If you need to be fruitful, if you need anything tonight, it comes from the river which comes from his presence. So all that we need is in his presence. It's all about Jesus and our relationship with him.